Take a minute or two to thank all of you for the happy time of fellowship we have had together. It has certainly been a real joy to me, and I believe I can speak as well for the rest of my brethren, for the way that you have handled this conference. There's been no confusion, there's been godly order the whole way through. Not only in our services, but also in the kitchen, in the homes, and in the interview between. Now, I have been at conferences and I saw between the meetings how the young people run all downtown and you don't see them in the afternoon. I'm more than happy to see the young people take an interest in the things of God and seek to help and to see them present at our meetings. And not only do they work at conference times, but when I was here for gospel meetings, it was the young people that made the meetings a success. We want to thank them and encourage them to go on. Now, my little message this afternoon will be very, very easy for to understand it. Chapter 35 of the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 35, beginning with verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. And they journeyed, the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob came to Luz in his land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built an altar there, and called the place El Bethel, because God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother Esau. Over to the book of Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 7. The book of Joshua chapter 7. Verse 13. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, There is a cursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the cursed thing from among you. Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Thus and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold 50 shekels weight. Then I come with them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, and in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Over to the New Testament, please. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, please. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He calleth his own servants and delivers unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability or his ability to use. And straightway took his journey. Over to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, please. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. And verse 17. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. May the Lord add his blessing upon the word of God. My little message can be summed up in very few words this afternoon. I read 4 little places in the Bible, and there's 1 or 2 words in each place that I want to speak on, and you'll have no trouble to find out what I'm talking about. In chapter 35 of the book of Genesis, we have hidden idols. And in this chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, we have hidden sin. And in the book of Matthew, we have hidden talents. And in the book of Revelation, we have hidden rewards. 4 hidden things. Now that won't be hard to remember, my last little message with you. The next thing that I want to say about these 4 little verses before going into them in detail, if you want to know the meaning and to see good results, the first thing we need to do is to throw away the hidden idols. Now an idol is something that keeps you from God. Anything that keeps you from reading the Word of God and communion and fellowship with God is an idol. Now, the first thing we need, I say, is to throw away the hidden idols. The second thing is to confess the hidden sin. And thank God, He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Throw away, as I say, the hidden idols, confess the hidden sin, and dig up the hidden talents and put them to use, and at the end of the journey you will receive the hidden rewards. Now I could sit down, I preached my sermon ready already, isn't that right? Now some of you told me yesterday that you had a hard time to understand the Irish brogue, but I want you to put on your best hearing ears this afternoon and do your best to understand it. I'm speaking in my mother's tongue. I remember when I came to this country, I was called into the courtroom, which was crowded full of people, and I was taking out what is called citizen papers. Yes, I'm a citizen of the United States just the same as you are. One of the questions they asked me that day, they only asked me 2 questions altogether. I don't know what they have to do with citizenship, but at any rate, they asked me 2 questions. They said, where is the best English spoken in the world? I said, 20 miles from where I was born in the city of Dublin. And everybody laughed just as you're laughing. And then when the quick laughing, the examiner said, he's correct. The next question he asked, and he looked me straight between the eyes, he says, could you tell me where the second best English is spoken? I said, I do not know, sir, because there's a question between Aberdeen, Scotland, and Boston, Massachusetts. He says, Boston gets it, but I didn't believe that because I didn't want to argue with him. So you know where the best English is spoken is where I came from. So you should be able to understand, shouldn't you, Brother King? Now, so much for the introduction. Now, I'm going to look just at these in brief. I don't intend to preach you a long sermon. But to get a connection, I'm going to have to look at the start of this man, Jacob, because most of us has got a good start. Now, in chapter 28, we have his start. The first thing we find, he's in trouble with his brother, and he's in trouble with his father. I'm sorry to say his mother helped him in the wrong. That's a sad thing, isn't it? And the trouble forced him to leave home, and he has run away from home. And as he runs away from home, night sets in, and I find that he makes a bed by the side of the road. And it's a very, very soft bed. It's like one of these beauty mattresses that you can sleep all night and wake up without a pain. It was made out of solid rocks, stones. And stones for his pillow. And as he was sleeping there, God spoke to him and God saved his soul. He saw a ladder that reached from earth to heaven. It's the only ladder, dear friends, that will bridge the gulf between heaven and earth. And that ladder speaks of the cross of Christ. And God gave him a picture of the cross of Christ and the lovely man dying on that cross. Deity of deity. The God-man. Both God was and man was. And then you'll notice that he not only got saved, but he started out on a wonderful journey for God. Now there's four things in chapter 28 that I want you to notice. I'm not going to speak on them. That makes him just like me, and I believe I'm just like Jacob. Jacob was known for his crookedness. And you know there's enough meanness in an Irish man to make him look like Jacob. Now, Jacob here, he was what we would call a sinful man. Nobody will dispute that. He was sinful. And his sin found him out. The second thing I find out about him, he was a separated man. His sin separated him from his father's house. You wouldn't question that, would you? And the third thing I want you to notice is simply this, that he was a sad man. The first night of a runaway boy from his home was a sad night. And the fourth thing I want you to notice, he was sleeping in his sins. And what a sad thing to lie down unconscious and sleep if you have never been born into God's family, running the risk of opening your eyes in a world, dear friend, of sorrow and shame. The next thing, as I said already, God saved that man there during the night. God oftentimes speaks to men and women during the night. I remember in my unconverted days, I couldn't sleep. God was speaking to me by his spirit through the word. I was convicted of my sin when I was a boy. Although brought up in the church, as you all know, I'm not only brought up but baptized and taught that baptism made me a member of Christ, a child of God and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Think, dear friends, of teaching an Irishman that three drops of water would do all that for him, and it wasn't holy water either. Confirmed and taken into the church at the age of 12, and finding out in my teens that I was never born again. God troubled me in the night season, and he troubled me in the day season. I found neither rest for my soul until God, in his mercy and grace, saved my soul. And that was true of Jacob. Now, when God saved him, we find out that there's a different side of it. First of all, I find out in verse 15 that God gave him at least a four, if not a fivefold, promise. First of all, he gave him divine assurance that his presence was with him. And behold, I am with thee. And will keep thee in all places. He gave him divine protection. that is present with him on divine protection. I will keep thee in all places whether thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this place. That's divine preservation. And then he had a divine promise. And he says, I will never leave thee. Now you can see when God saves a person that he has given him some wonderful things. And if you are saved right in this audience today, let me tell you that God has done wonderful things to you. No doubt when that man that lived in the tombs, when God delivered him and saved him, we find that he was closed and in his right mind. People that are not saved are not in the right mind. People that are not saved, dear friends, if they were in the right mind, they'd be saved, because who would want to stay in their sins running the risk of being in an endless eternity forever? Running the risk of going down into the blackness of night forever? Running a risk, dear friends, of being cast down into hell and later to be brought up to be cast into the lake of fire. People, if they were in their senses, I say, wouldn't stay, not for one moment, in their sin on the broad road. And then you can see a little father as you look down. This man, dear friend, was not only saved, but God gave him all these promises. And you know, when God saves us, he does that very thing. He not only forgives our sins, blots them out as a thick cloud, but he has promised to be with us. He has promised to preserve us. He has promised to hedge us around. He has promised to comfort us. He has promised to keep us and to sustain us. And thank God we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then you notice still further, when he gives them these wonderful promises in verse 29, which I don't care about going into, but I will just say in chapter 29, we see Jacob starting out from the day of God that he was saved, and he starts out in a wonderful way. Chapter 29, verse 1 tells us, every time he lifted his feet, he began to say, praise the Lord. And he ran so fast in chapter 29, he was so happy and so much taken up that his sins were forgiven, his soul was saved, and he could take his stand with the psalmist in the 32nd Psalm, blessed or happy is the man whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Jacob could take his stand there. But he forgot one thing in his running. Sometimes we do run too fast and we get ahead of God. And in chapter 29 he went so fast that he got into the wrong occupation and he got the wrong weight into the bargain. Now those are two sad mistakes that it takes a long time sometimes to rectify. And in doing so, he lost about 20 years of his service for God. Now, if I get to the message, I'll have to turn over fast. Chapter 32 tells us that God began to deal with him. And he wrestled, or God wrestled with him. He didn't wrestle with God, as some people say. God began to wrestle with him. A man wrestled with him. And he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. And you can see when he was blessed, and he was blessed indeed, and the sun began to rise, and it was And something new for Jacob. But there was one sad thing that he never could forget. He was lame on both, or did I say lame on both his feet? He halted on his thigh. Mephibosheth was lame on both his feet. But Jacob, he was lame on one leg because his thigh was out of joint. You know, it's a terrible thing to get away from God if you're saved. If you lack reading the Word of God, and there's a lack of prayer in your life, and you've lost out on fellowship and communion with God, it's harder to get back than it is to get away. Jacob lost out on 20 years of his life. 20 years wasted. 20 years away from God, when he could have been of service to God. I hope there's none in the audience today that is wasting our time away from God. You have an occupation to fill. That is to know Christ and to make Christ known to others. That's a steady everyday job, 24 hours of the day. Now looking still further and skipping over quite a little bit, when God wrestled with this man and restored him, you'll notice he got quite a number of new things. His name was changed. And that was a good thing from old crooked Jacob to Israel. God changed his name. And not only did God change his name, but God changed his walk, and God changed his life, and God changed everything about him, his power and his outlook. Now, leaving that a little bit aside, coming over to chapter 35, as we'll have to hurry on, we find out that he's not only restored to God, but he's now in the place where God can use him. And God says to his servant, get back to Bethel where you started from. Bethel was the house of God. You get back there. Now, the first thing we find is God began to speak and to deal with this young man that's now restored to God. And I hate to go into the things that happened before he was restored. In this chapter, we have three funerals going out from Jacob's home. Oftentimes, God has to take away loved ones to bring backsliders back to himself. Oftentimes, God has to deal with individuals and put them on the broad of their back. And the reason he puts them on the broad of their back is they might look up and acknowledge that the Most High God ruleth in all the earth. I was raised on a farm, that's why I'm so rough. I knew how to feed pigs in my early days. I could do it yet if I had to. But there's only one time I ever knew a pig to look up, and that's when it's on its back, and a knife to its throat. And God sometimes has to lay us on our back so that we look up and acknowledge the one that's at God's right hand. Now here is Jacob, and three funerals is taking from his home. And now he's on the road back to Bethel. Now if you read the book of Ruth, which was mentioned already today, the same thing applies to Elimelech. Elimelech says, why there was no king in Israel, but I acknowledge that my king is my God. And yet he left the house of bread, and he went down into the land of Moab, the land of a curse. And you remember before he was restored to God, there was three funerals went out from that place. Salvation is a real thing, and restoration is a real thing. And oftentimes restoration costs us something. Jacob is restored. The first thing we find is he's obedient after he's restored. God says, get back to Bethel, and he's ready to go. The second thing we find is this complete separation to God after he's restored. He says, we must put away those idols from us. There must be a clean cut for God. Separation. Come out from among those things and be ye separate and touch not the unclean things and I will receive thee. Dear friends, there must be a separation to God. And I do say in passing on in the hurry, if there's no separation to God, dear friend, you'll have no fellowship with God. There can be no fellowship between a believer and a non-believer. There's no reason for a non-believer to marry a believer, and there's no reason for a believer to marry a non-believer. There must be separation, separation to God, dear friends. And then not only was there separation, but there was a clean cut for God. His clothes were changed. The old filthy garments was removed from the prodigal when he met the father. And Jacob's old filthy garments is removed too. And he's a cleansed man. And then I noticed something that I'd like to leave with you even if I sat down. There was an altar built. During the 20 years he had no family altar. I hope every one of you has got a family altar. I wonder how many of you sat down this morning and read with the family. Brother Richard was telling about the raising of families. He should have told me that about 35 years ago. It's a little late now after they're married and gone. But there's one thing I have to say, the very things that he said that we should read the Word of God and pray together is something we have practiced all our lifetime from the day we're married. Get down with your wife and pray with her. And get down with the family and pray with the family and have the family pray too. There's a family altar. He established it for God. And you can see what a joy and what a blessing. He's back in fellowship with God again. Now, in just referring to the others, here's another man. And we find out that there's something has happened in his life. He has been looking at the wrong thing. And he sees a wedge of gold. And he took it. Now, the first is his secret fault, which he gets from the 19th Psalm he saw. And then the error of his way he took. Or I should say the error of his way he covered it. And then he took that the transgression and he hid it in his tent. That's a great presumption. And God couldn't bless his people because of one man's sin and one man's disobedience. Even God says in the 66th Psalm, if you hold iniquity in your heart, God will not heal it. A little grudge in your heart and that will stop the windows of heaven from being opened. It's a serious thing to have a grudge against your brother or your sister. And this man, he had saw something and he had coveted it and he took it and he hid it. Made it a family sin. And there was no blessing. Couldn't be any blessing. Because of sin. Now, if there's anything between you and your wife, I hope that you make that right before the sun goes down. The third chapter of 1 Peter tells us wrong relationship between a husband and wife will keep the blessings of God too away. Unconfessed sin with. And it meant death. For this cause many are weak and sickly among us and many sleep. Now I just refer to the others and that's the 25th chapter of Matthew. And you notice in connection with that, God has given each one of us eternity. He's given each one of us something to do. He has given one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. He may have only given you 1 talent. He gives us our talents according to our ability to use. Some can use 5 well, some can use 2 well, some can only use 1. If you're the 1 talent man, you're not to be jealous of the 5 talent man. And if you're a 5 talent man, you're not to despise the like of me with 1 talent. God has given us these talents according to our ability to use, and if we use what God has given to us, He'll give us more. God wants you to use what you have for Him. And if you use what you have for Him, you will receive the hidden rewards at the end of the journey. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'm sure there's not one of you but would like to have a well done. I'm sure there's not one of you but would like to go on well, continue well, and end well. When I was a boy, I used to have one of these old tops, you know. You used to get a little piece of whipcord and wind it around like this. And then if we just hit it the right way, it would buzz and sing, and then a little later it would start wobbling a little bit, sleepy, and soon it would fall out. Jacob started out well, he went out just buzzing. It wasn't long until he began to wobble a little bit. It wasn't long until he began to sleep and get out of line, and it wasn't long until he fell out. He lost 20 years of his life. Thank God he got restored again. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. With new life to end well for the Master. Get right into this book, the Bible. Read it through. Pray it in. Work it out. And tell it on. And God will bless it to you.